Good morning. Welcome to each one of you. Welcome to our worship service this morning. Before we begin singing, I'd like to simply read Psalm 121 in the Amplified. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip or to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. What wonderful promises. Let's sing.
Number 127. In this song, we sing the goodness, the mighty power, the wisdom, and the goodness of God. On the last verse, let's sing up a little bit higher. And also on the last line, we're going to hold out everywhere that man can be. Let's hold out that note.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full.
Oh. Greet you all in the precious name of Christ this morning. It's a blessing to know that God is present. Let us reverence him. Recently, I've been reading some in the book of Leviticus, and it stood out to me in the sacrifices how blood was such an essential ingredient in Old Testament worship. And I'd just like to look a bit at blood and some of the significance of it. If you care to, you may open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 17. I'll be reading verses 10 through 14. Leviticus 17, verses 10 through 14. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof, and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. In this passage, I think it's pretty clear that blood, God put a lot of emphasis on blood. It is life. It represents more than just the physical and that which gives physical life, but there's something more connected with that. Right after the flood, when God talked to Noah, and it's the first that I read in Scripture that I'm aware of that God told them, the moving creatures are now meat for you. There were sacrifices before the flood. Abel did it, but I don't think we have it recorded that man actually ate of those sacrifices and the meat. If they did or not, I don't know, but that's the first that God clearly said that the animals are now meat for you. But with those instructions, he said in Genesis 9, verse 4, says, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So it almost makes life and blood synonymous when it says, flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof. And so life and blood are somewhat synonymous. And God put a lot of emphasis on the blood. And we see that in the Old Testament sacrifices. And in the New Testament, in Hebrews, it says, without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. And I noticed in Old Testament times when they offered these sacrifices, it wasn't just taking a club and clobber it over the head and throw it on the altar, but there was a collection of the blood of those beasts and those animals, and either sprinkled on the altar or, you know, dip their fingers in and spread it on the horns of the altar, and then pouring the blood out at the base of the altar. And so I tried to look up a little bit what was the actual method of killing the animal. I'm not sure. Was it just simply slitting the throat and bleeding to death, or was there some other method? But there was an obvious thing of collecting the blood that flowed from the animal and utilizing that in those sacrifices. In Leviticus chapter 4, it talks about the sin offerings that were to be offered. Earlier it talked about the burnt offering and the peace offerings, and there are quite a bit of similarities between those and the sin offering, but I'd like to look just briefly at the sin offering. In Leviticus 4, in verse 27, now, sort of interesting, it has a sin offering for the priest and another sin offering when the congregation commits a trespass, and then there's a sin offering for if a ruler of the people makes a trespass. And then in the last part, it talks about a sin offering for the common people. I consider us common people, so I chose that one. Leviticus 4, verses 27 through 31. It says, "And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin, which he hath sinned, come to his knowledge, then shall he bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he hath sinned. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him." And so we see that in the shedding of blood, there was forgiveness for sins. Now, as we look at Hebrews, we understand that the sacrifices were not all sufficient. I think there was a sufficiency for the time being. There was forgiveness of sins, but Hebrew also tells us that there was a yearly remembrance made where I think in living out in obedience to the teachings, it evidenced faith of looking forward. And I wondered, was it the faith or the blood that actually made it possible for them to be forgiven? I think it was a combination of them, of acting in obedience and also the shedding of that blood. Just briefly, what is blood? The blood as we know it has four main parts. It has the plasma, your red blood cells, your white blood cells, and the platelets. The plasma is basically the liquid that transfers the other components through your system. Consists mainly of water. And the other parts are suspended in this fluid and allows it to flow through our veins and arteries and so on. And then we have the red blood cells, and their main function is to go to the lungs and pick up oxygen, distribute it throughout the body, pick up the carbon dioxide and back to the lungs to get rid of the carbon dioxide and pick up a fresh load of oxygen, and thereby our bodies operate the way they do. Then we have the white blood cells, and their main function is to fight against diseases and infections. If we get a scrape and there's a little bit of pus collecting, it's an indication that our system is working. The white blood cells are at work. They're fighting infection. And then we have the platelets. Those are there if we have a damaged blood cell. If we make a cut, if the bleeding stops, it is a result of the platelets doing their job of clotting and causing the blood flow to stop in those damaged areas. I have some nephews who don't have some of the clotting agents. They're hemophilias, and they need to keep factor 9 on hand in case they get a cut so that they just don't bleed to death. And the main part of the circulatory system we look at as the heart. It is what pumps that blood through our system. Often when we talk about something, and sometimes we refer to it, the heart of the matter is this. It's the, could you say, the very basic core of what we're talking about. It's the heart of it. It's what gives purpose or life to whatever subject we're discussing. And so the heart is a very key component to our system. Now, just our physical blood, Can we give life to others with our blood? And there's a little bit of that can be done when you go to the blood mobile and you donate your blood and someone is a recipient of that blood. There's a little bit of similarity there between what Christ has done for us when we give blood so that someone else can have that blood transfusion and experience life. Going back to the shedding of blood, Christ's blood was also shed. You know, I don't think it was in God's plan that Christ would shed his blood. Not that he die by stoning where it simply gets hit hard enough until he dies, but there was the shedding forth of blood. When he was in the garden, in Luke 22:44, it says, his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. In John 19:1, it talks about the scourging that he endured. As his back was lacerated, there was blood coming forth. And when he was on the cross, as the nails pierced his hands, I assume his feet as well, but I don't think I can actually read in Scripture where his feet were pierced by a nail. I'm not sure about that. But in John 20:25, it talks about Thomas saying, you know, unless I put my finger in the print of the nails in his hands and thrust my hand in his side, I won't believe. And so as the nails were driven into Christ's hand, there was blood coming forth. And then as life left and he died, a soldier wanted to make sure, and he took a sword and pierced his side, and forthwith came forth blood and water. Jesus shed his blood. And I think it was important that the blood was shed for our remission of sins. And as that shed blood is then applied to our hearts, it sanctifies our hearts. In Hebrews 10, verse 22, says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And so in the context, this is talking about having our hearts sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. And as that happens to us, it is life-giving to us. It sanctifies our hearts. And note that Christ's sacrifice, shedding his blood, was a voluntary giving of his life. In the Old Testament, as these animals were sacrificed, these animals did not decide, okay, I'm going to give my life so that people can have their sins forgiven. They didn't have much option. But Christ voluntarily gave his life, a willing sacrifice. As we look at physical blood, we just say with the psalmist, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. His works are marvelous. But as we look at the sacrifice of Christ's blood, we marvel at the blood transfusion that takes place spiritually when we become humble and grateful recipients of that blood applied to our hearts, and it gives life eternal. Notice that in the Old Testament, often there was a laying hands on the head of the animal that was to be killed, sort of a transmitting our sins on the animals, and the animals being sacrificed. And I think in the same way, as the songwriter says, I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. I bring my guilt to Jesus to wash my crimson stains, white in his blood most precious, till not a spot remains. And so this morning I am just so grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us, that makes us pure, that we can be free from that evil conscience, or a conscience that bothers and troubles us, makes us restless, and instead we can have his peace reigning within our hearts. Praise the Lord for that blood. Shall we kneel in prayer? Father in heaven, this morning we are so grateful for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he gave it as a willing sacrifice so that we can have it applied to our hearts and have our sins forgiven. Thank you for the perfect plan of salvation. And Lord, we look forward to the time when it will be brought to a completion when we are with you for eternity. Help us to be faithful while we're in the realm of time, walking in obedience to your word and allowing your blood to continue to sanctify and purify us every day. Bless the Sunday school hour and the remainder of the service. Just pray that you would be our focus, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dwight, for those reminders and lessons. I was thinking as Dwight was talking about blood, how, you know, you can go to the blood mobile and you can share your blood with another person, and so long as that person is alive, it can help them. But doctors know good and well that if a person is dead, any amount of blood isn't going to bring him back to life. And yet the scripture says that while we were dead in sins, Christ died for us. And the blood of Christ actually makes us alive when we were dead in sins. One very, very key difference: his blood is all powerful for the things we need it for. All right, this brings us to our Sunday school time. The teachers teaching in the basement are dismissed.
It's getting there. Who has something they'd like to share? Lauren. Lauren, up here.
I just want to give you an update on Eugene Yoder. I've been talking to Keith last night and this morning, Keith Nisley. He's allergic to penicillin, so he had reactions to a number of the pain medicines they were giving him, as well as the antibiotics. But he was feeling good enough on Wednesday. They released him from the government hospital and he went home. But then he kept going downhill, and so he went back to a clinic on Thursday. And then things kept going downhill. His stomach started to swell and coloring wasn't good. He was feeling listless. And so people were getting pretty concerned. And so someone decided to contact Dr. Leon Miller in Ohio. And he's on the case now, which is a real positive. And he's giving counsel, advice, and there's a possibility they may bring him to the U.S. But Leon is staying in close touch. And Earl and Irene, Treva's parents, are on the way down right now. And so that's a real positive note to know Earls are going to be there, and Leon is, they're in contact with him. So, but let's keep praying for him. It is serious. And Treva, pray for Treva. They have 8 children, and it's pretty, weighing pretty heavy on her. Treva is a very sensitive person, and it's really hard on her. She's can't hardly eat, so it's tough. So just keep praying for them. Thank you.
Another health need that would interest us is Esther Troyer, wife of Lloyd Troyer. They live in Alaska, had a very serious heart attack recently, was at first unresponsive, and the emergency people credit her husband keeping her that they didn't lose her while they were coming. Some of the things that they were coaching him. She is responding some, and I'm sure they would appreciate our prayers. She happens to be an aunt to Lowell Judy.
Nathan in the back.
I'm just very thankful that God is a God of restoration and redemption, and that even though we feel the struggles of life sometimes, we keep having Him in front of us, inviting us and making the way for us. And I would like to sing number 342 in light of that.
342. And I am not immediately recognizing this, so I guess we will all get through it together.
On a mountaintop appearing, on the sacred herald stands, welcome news to Zion Berry, Zion long in the starlands. Morning captive, God himself will lose thy hand. Morning captive, God himself will lose thy hands. Has the night been long and mournful? Have thy friends unfaithful proved? Have thy foes been proud and scornful by thy sighs and tears unmoved? Cease thy
Gary?
I'd just like to talk a little bit about my father. This is the third Sunday that he's not able to be here. And we're thankful that he is on the healing road and that he was released to go to rehab at the Wheaton House at the Manor on Monday. He is still experiencing pain, and when he moves especially, but thankful for the care that he's getting, and we're just looking to God to bless the therapies that he can get on his feet again. And your prayers are treasured and requested, and thanks for visiting.
Frank, up here.
I'd like all your guys' prayers. I've gotten some bad news last week, and I'd appreciate your guys' prayers for my family and my son left last week for 18 months, and I'd like your prayers too. Well, I guess Paul just wanted me to tell you the bad news was at 2.5 years at Coon Kraus, I got let go. So that's the bad news.
Let's just spend a little bit of time praying. We've had a number of prayer requests. Let's remember Frank and his family, and Eugene and Treva and Esther. Did I get that name right?
Yes, and I should have mentioned he's also Marvin Mastin.
Okay. Esther and Perry. Let's just spend a little time in prayer, and maybe we won't bother passing the mic around and just have a number of people pray for those requests, and I might ask Joe Yoder to close then. Let's pray. And this is an appropriate prayer. 550. And 555, with men singing verse 2, I bet we could arrange that. 555, and let's stand and use this as our transition song.
Rock of ages, clap for me. Thank you.
probably noticed the scripture on the heading of that song. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. What a blessing it is that we can lean on the Lord as our rock. We shall not be moved. That is a blessing. I have a number of announcements here and a little bit of voting to take care of before we lift the offering and then move on to the message. The offering for today will be for Pilgrim Schools, and next Sunday's offering will be for Hands of Christ. Dave and Susanna are visiting Angelo's in Texas, and I believe Oren has been at the Mennonite Manor this morning. In just a minute, we will do the voting for the MIC elections. And I'd like to have the mic brought to Lauren so he can make some comments on the election thing. The nominees are John Dean Hostetler, Joel Gingrich, and Daniel Stolzfus. Maybe we'll come back to this in just a minute. Several other announcements. First, as was announced Wednesday evening, I thought we'd just announce it again to make sure that all know that Eli Yutzi, the evangelist who had served here perhaps several times, died, and his funeral was this past week. Another death in the constituency is Aiden Troyer, who died yesterday morning after a battle with cancer. This coming weekend, Brother Gary will be attending the Faith Builders board meetings. That'll be board meetings held, or board work, Friday and Saturday. So he would appreciate your prayers for him in that behalf. Okay, now coming to the MIC elections. Brother Lauren, do you have some comments that you'd like to make about this?
Yeah, I would just say that... John Dean Hostetler is currently on the board, and he has not served a full term at this point. He replaced Willis Bontrager when Willis passed away. And he is also on the Comrah Wilderness Camp in Ireland currently. So just for your information, and the other two members would be new, the other two names.
All right. So we have three good candidates here, but from the board chair, you would encourage that we consider John Dean, perhaps, if we can be so blunt. Is that okay to say that? Well, we know what continuity does for a board and as well as experience, so we want to honor that. I think we will now vote for those three. We'll vote for John Dean Hostetler, Joel Gingrich, and Daniel Stolzfus. So raise your hands. Those for Daniel Stolzfus, would you please raise your hands? Okay, thank you. Those for Joel Gingrich, would you please raise your hands? Thank you. And those for John Dean Hostetler, would you please raise your hands? Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, what announcements are there from you? Would you bring the mic to the front, please? Yes, David has an announcement here.
For the youth, the singing tonight will be at Laverne Miller's, and songbooks will be provided, and we're going to be singing first, so please be prompt.
Those going to Mennonite Friendship Communities next Sunday will be Perry Lee Stutzman's, Glenda Miller, Edward Miller's, Joel Iwashige's, and Anya Miller. And Joel's obviously are not here. If there would be someone who would like to go, just in Joel's place, let me know.
Okay, thank you.
I have a card here that I'd like to post on the bulletin board from Faith Builders. It's essentially a thank you, but they are also just wanting to, again, express, or want to make sure we understand what they're about. Let me just read an excerpt here. Our desire is for Faith Builders to serve local churches like yours. We exist to offer training options that equip our people to serve in the school, the church, the home, and in business. Our calling is to come alongside conservative Anabaptist churches and help build the infrastructure of our communities. Your interest and support is critical in making this possible. And then they go ahead to just say, please talk to us, call us, visit us. They want our input, our involvement. So I'll post that on the board, and you can read it from there.
Concerning the upcoming fundraiser this coming Friday evening at the Journey, some of the youth helped to serve last year. There's an opportunity again to serve. And at the high school, Matthew Keim is posting a sign-up sheet for those of you who would like to help. And so you might contact a high schooler if you don't want to go there to sign up, whatever. If you can get your name on that sheet, that would reserve a spot for you. Also, as we did last year, we're giving the opportunity again to pay for some of the costs up front. On the bulletin board, there's a sign-up sheet to pay for oil, the frying oil, and the cornmeal. It helps the margins if the costs are taken care of ahead of time. And so those of you who care to can sign up. Thank you.
For the young marrieds, we're planning a marriage retreat on, I'm not sure here if we have it right, March 21st or 22nd, whatever is the Friday evening of that general time, Friday evening through Sunday evening, and we'll be using the materials that Joel and Hilda introduced a while back called The Art of Marriage, and we'd like to know by next Sunday. I know that sounds fairly soon, but we'd like to, depending on what response we'd like to stage the invitation to others. So please let us know in a week if it works, and we'll have something in the mailboxes for you.
Several weeks ago, some of you received a letter from Janice in your church mailboxes. Due to the age of our cheerful helpers, we are not sure which of you received copies of that letter. So there will be more copies here in the back on a table. It's on different paper, looks different, but it's the same letter. If you didn't get a letter and would like to have one, please help yourself.
I have been helping a family off and on from the Appalachian area of West Virginia. I need a little help with the next project. This evening, about sometime between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock, somebody is going to drop off a 15-passenger van that is being donated to the family. Somehow it has to get from here to West Virginia, and I don't foresee that I'm going to have the time to drive it there myself. It's coming with a full tank of gas and money for an oil change. If you can help in any way, I would really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, maybe there's someone who would like to help sponsor a a flight back or something. So let's work together on this, okay?
This Wednesday evening, we'll be having the small groups with the ministers. That'll be for this Wednesday evening. Thank you.
And I